I was back in the UK last week as a guest speaker for a course which was being taught on a farm for people who have animals or are looking to train animals and train trainers how to look after their animals. And the specific course was on herbs and what happens if your animal is eating this herb that's on your land or laying near it or doing something about it, what it's doing to them, why they might be doing it. Anyway, those are the details. What I was there for was to add just a little bit extra value for them doing this course that they might feel more confident when speaking to the owners about their animals and issues that they might be having. Now, I was asked to turn up fairly last minute, so I had not much time to prepare and I didn't really know what their course was about until I got there and heard them speaking. And they all jumped into it pretty willingly because I think they'd been in a group for a while and they knew each other and they felt fairly confident. But when I turned up, something happened. They changed how they were. They changed the energy in the room. They all of a sudden felt a bit judged because I was asking them to do something and they were told that I'm going to be evaluating and giving them notes back. And so rather than feeling as they had before, comfortable, surrounded by these people they knew, they were thrown into the deep end and started to worry. And it wasn't necessarily that it shook them so badly they couldn't speak. But what happened was they started giving little stories in their body language. Now, there's a lot of videos out there by some amazing tutors and teachers and coaches on nonverbal communication and body language. And I'm not an expert at that by any means, although I've done some study and I've seen lots of patterns over the years that suggest there is something to it. And since I noticed everyone was a little physically awkward, and I'll explain how in a second, I realized that they could all benefit from this one exercise. Now, it's an exercise that I've done with groups on stage before, and I learned it originally from an acting coach back in Brighton in around 2005, 2006. And it's based on some work by a man named Jacques Lecoq, who was, I think, a mime artist or physical theatre practitioner anyway, and who used to do mask work. So he'd wear masks and the body, the energy, the way it moved would tell a lot more of the story while the face was kind of still. So what I've used it for and how I learned it was to actually find a way of telling a story with our body that's more neutral and gives less away. And here's the example. One woman stood up and she was crossing her legs and she was leaning. And it looks like she was wanting to go to the toilet. She was trying to leave. Now, I'm not saying she did, but that standing alone indicated to me something different than what she wanted to share. She was talking about herbs and animals, but it looked like she wanted to get out of there and use the loo. Here's my point. It's not necessarily body language, but our body is saying something. Our body has a voice, and what we read is mainly unconscious. I was there specifically to look at those details, and that's more likely why I noticed it. But those people who might not know those things, like the owners they will be speaking to in the when they finish the course and when they go out to work, might think that the other person needs to use the toilet or wants to get away. So it could be a bad start. And what I taught them was this way of standing neutrally, like I got from the Lecoq exercise, which is very simple. And I've gone through it many times on this channel. But this neutralizing stance takes away all stories. So I've already talked about crossing your legs and leaning to one direction like you wanted to run away, but there's also folding your arms. It can be a bit defensive, and you may not think you're being defensive, and others may not think that either, but they might feel a bit like you're not interested in what you're talking to them about. This is a big might, right? But there are things that we do with our bodies unconsciously that other people pick up on unconsciously that tell a story. It's largely down to feeling uncomfortable, right? And not wanting to be in that situation and feeling judged and defending and blocking and comforting yourself. Some people move around. They feel like they just have to move. Again, that kind of indicates restlessness and perhaps a lack of attention and presence. So stillness is really great. Keeping your feet flat on the ground, toes pointed in the same direction as your knees, knees unlocked and not locked tight like this, because that, you know, shuts all the energy in your body off. Tucking your pelvis under so you can find a nice balanced way of standing so your spine is in its correct position. And then relaxing your shoulders, your neck and your jaw. And it's letting go of your belly, most importantly. Again, for those who've seen this channel before, this is nothing new, but it's worth sharing again, because when I saw this and I asked people to adjust for the next time they went through it, everybody was clearer with their message. And everyone said they felt a bit more confident with it too. I don't necessarily know if they were saying that just because they wanted to get me out of the room and keep me happy. But it certainly looked as if they were more present, and I think they felt more grounded with it. So that's something to consider. First, bring our feet together. And as we've done before, we're going to first move our heels out to the side and then our toes. So our feet are parallel underneath our hips. And we're also going to lean the weight forward so we can feel it all the way across our feet, not just on the heels or the toes. And we want to bend our knees, bring our pelvis under, not leaning forward too much or poking the bum out or leaning back, just so the hips are below our feet, knees unlocked. Now, if we imagine there's a string in the middle of our chest, our breastplate, just there in the center, coming up to the ceiling, and we're hanging down off of that. This, when we bring this up, we can just imagine it brings our shoulders up, and we can drop those down, relax, relaxing our belly. We can do the same, imagining a string is pulling us up from the top of our head. And then again, relax our shoulders down, breathe out, relax our belly, move forward again so we can feel the weight of our body equally over equally over our feet. And try and take a sigh here. Breathe in. Just let go. So we just relax into this position. Pelvis tucked under, knees relaxed, feet flat on the floor, all the weight across them. Chest up, shoulders back, head up. I don't really talk about energy in that respect, but there are groups and practices that talk about energy and energy flow in the body. And if you are leaning or off balance or your posture is not aligned or correct, the energy doesn't flow around your body properly. Therefore, your whole psychophysical being, your whole body and mind don't sort of connect as well as they could. Therefore, you're not as grounded. Therefore, your message might be flippant. Therefore, you might be succumb to the emotions you feel in the situation as opposed to being present, grounded, and in control, if you know what I mean. And again, I've said many times before that whilst this is a great way to learn from me online or anyone else for that matter, there's nothing better than being in person, in the room with a coach, with a practitioner, because you're both able to evaluate each other and understand each other much better in a physical space. I do the best I can to share information and pass on what I've learned and what I've used, but it's always better if someone's there with you, guiding you. They can see, they can watch, they can feel, they can touch. That sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? But you know what I mean. The great thing about doing that is that I also realize that I do it myself. I'm just a bit more conscious of it nowadays. Movement, if I feel uncomfortable or if I'm searching for words, I gesticulate a lot, and I think that's perfectly fine. But I can also tend to move around if I haven't really had a chance to prepare as much as I should. And it could be that my body wants to run away, even though my mind's telling me I have to stay there. And sometimes if someone tells you to stand still or neutral, you might just get static and try not to move because you were told not to move. And so it's really good, again, to have someone in the room with you to help with that. Because in real life, most of our interactions are with people we know. They're usually with a smaller group of people. We're not all presenting ourselves to crowds of hundreds of audience members. Most of us are just having like one-to-one meetings or chatting with our family or colleagues or boss or, work associates. Or school associates, wherever you are. So I know myself. I am never 100% myself, except for perhaps with my wife and children. They know me like my friends knew me when I was 12 or 13, when I was completely free to just say what I wanted and be myself. I could be really silly with my kids. I think if I acted the way I do with my children around other people, they'd think I'm crazy because I'm very playful and I like to... Yeah, I enjoy the voice, and when I'm reading stories, I can get really creative and have fun with it. And I guess if I was reading that to other people, I might not be as dynamic. I sort of restrict myself. I make myself a bit more socially acceptable. So I wonder what's truly me, and if I really do express myself fully, and if any of us do, or if whatever those minor things that I kind of not restrict myself from being in the real world, how much more dynamic and playful and expressive would I be if I just allowed it to, if I didn't care so much, if I just was myself? And we could all take a bit of that. We could all learn to be more playful. We could all learn to just enjoy living and enjoy expressing ourselves more, I believe, anyway, like we probably can with our families. Because we do tend to change ourselves for others. We do tend to take on a role. And this is what I find interesting about people believing that they're unaffected by others. Some of us do believe that that's the way I am. It's, you know, there's nothing I can do. But then when you do notice that you could be comfortable in one situation and comfortable in another, you realize that you are choosing your attitude, whether by conscious choice or unconscious choice, you are changing to suit the surroundings. I pretty much believe we all do that. So for those of you out there that might feel that they're uncomfortable in certain situations, you could either change the situations or you could change yourself, and you can change yourself, because I'm sure if you're in a situation you are comfortable in, you would be acting differently. So therefore, you can take that same actions and that way of being and put it into the one you're usually uncomfortable in. It's just perception. It's just your perspective on it. Change your perspective and everything else, boom, flows into place. So if I were to say there's a list of three things you can do to feel more comfortable and begin to change that attitude and take control over yourself, it's to find that neutral position. Because when you can ground yourself, feel comfortable standing and being in stillness to speak your truth the way, you know, you want it to be, finding a neutral position that doesn't hold a story or tell too much isn't going to get the same reaction as if you were trying to cross your legs and run away to the toilet or lean or whatever it is you're trying to do, or showing that you're trying to do without knowing it, if that makes sense. So when you can feel grounded, find a neutral position, you'll be clearer and more present and able to share your message with more clarity, confidence, and ease. And then once you've found that, another way to help you stay there is to breathe slower. Many people's breath quickens when in environments where they feel a bit judged, whether you know you're being judged or not. We do often start to get a bit panicky. We want to take more oxygen. We feel unsafe. And again, it's nothing that we're consciously aware of until you are consciously aware of it. And that's usually because of that's how you're feeling from the way you're breathing. So if you slow your breath down, start with breathing out, not breathing in. You will have given yourself enough of the nutrients from the air to feed and inspire yourself. It will inspire thought. That's why breathing in is called inspiration. And it does feed you nutrients. And those nutrients will fire your brain to help you think of the correct things to say. And once you've slowed down, you're less anxious and you'll be able to connect with your message. So you're standing in a good grounded position. You're breathing slower, so you're more connected anyway. And this will create a grounding experience. One more thing I would say, and actually picked up people in the group the other week, was if you do notice yourself saying perhaps more regularly than you should, like when you're searching for words, that's fine. But if you're chucking in words just to fill the silences while you're searching for the words, what happened, if that's all the time, or it becomes like a crutch, a little habit, and it can be annoying for people to listen to, and it can devalue your message for some, I believe. So you could change that for a breath. Follow through with the out breath and breathe in again, you could say, this thing that I was going to say was because you're breathing still and you're not using that to fill the gaps, you'll actually have more space to think, more space to find the correct thing to say. And when you do speak, it should be more on point. What we got? Stand in neutral. Breathe slower. Breathe through your ums and ahs. These aren't all completely physical, but the physical things will change the way you come across. And you'd be surprised how much people perceive your voice through your body language also. It's all connected. Most people, especially those with vision and hearing, who are speaking with you, will pick up on both, especially in the space, if you're together in the same space. There's a little video for today. Let's hope it's useful. Yeah, until the next time, look after yourself and your voice. Got a feeling there's no longer any room for two.